Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up later, we'll hear about details regarding plans by Orivo to host three free Action Plan for Fodder Shortages events. But first this evening, we begin with GLAS, or to give it its full name, the Green Low Carbon Agri-Environment Scheme. Yes, it affects an awful lot of people here in the Northwest, and those who have been accepted into the scheme are being asked to make sure that they submit their nutrient management plans. I've been speaking with the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Michael Creed, to find out more. You're obviously encouraging farmers who have been accepted into the GLAS scheme to submit their nutrient management plans as required by the scheme because these are absolutely crucial in terms of processing and ultimately getting payment.
Yes, Chris, and thank you for having me on the show. As your listeners would know, and certainly in your part of the world, GLAS is a wildly successful scheme, and it builds on previous environmental schemes, REPS and EOS, and now we have GLAS, over 50,000 farmers, so almost every second farmer in the country, and I would suspect that probably a higher percentage than that in your neck of the woods, are in the scheme. And one of the conditions of the scheme to get payment after the first year is you have to submit a nutrient management plan. And unfortunately, as we speak, about 5,500 of the 50,000 plus applicants have yet to submit that nutrient management plan. And that means two things. It means I can't pay them the 15% of the balance that they're due from last year, but neither can I pay them in the coming weeks the 85% of next year's payment that will be due to issue in the coming weeks. So most farmers would have contacted this function out to their REPS planner or their GLAS planner, and for those who are listening to your show, I would order them to contact their planner via Talvisk or a private planner and ask them, have they sent in the nutrient management plan on their behalf? Because if they haven't, it means I can't pay. And what's worse, in a way, is that, you know, at the end of the year, if we have an underspend in the department, people say, oh God, you're not spending the farmers' money, you're paying them out. I can't pay. Legally, I can't pay until I get this document in from individual farmers.
Now, I seem to recall back, I think it might have been June or July, there was talk about this and some people took heed of the advice, but obviously others have let it slip for one reason or another. In terms of the urgency of the matter, what is the absolute deadline?
Well, there is no deadline, Chris, but it means that this 15% balancing payment, which is due, overdue, can't pay until this time is there to see. So they're coming in dribs and drabs all the time, but we're very anxious. And we would clean up the 2016 payment, and in so doing, enable people to be paid the 85% advance of their 2017 payment, which would issue in a couple of weeks. So I can't pay until they submit. But when they submit, they will be paid. What I'm anxious to do is pay as soon as possible, so therefore urging people to get their nutrient management plans in as soon as possible.
I recall about 20 years ago when REPS came in initially, the Chagos locally, certainly under the leadership then of the much-missed Pat Malloy up here, made great play out of the importance of what was coming down the tracks. But few people 20 years ago really could envisage just how big a scheme REPS and ultimately now GLAS has become. And it really has been a game-changer.
Well, it's a phenomenal scheme, and it builds on the success of previous environmental schemes. And in fact, it's an integral part also of our climate action plan. I mean, people may not be aware, but the biodiversity gain, the water quality gain, the environmental management, for example, permanent pasture management, hundreds of thousands of hectares, thousands of kilometres of waterways protected under these GLAS schemes. Very anxious, you know, that farmers as custodians of the landscape would be recognised by the broader community as thus. I mean, it's not widely known, but we are, for example, the most carbon efficient producer of dairy on the planet. We're the fifth most carbon efficient producer of beef in Europe. Things like the Beef Data and Genomics Programme are driving that. Our investment of over 100 million in the forestry programme, new afforestation in particular, all critical parts of what farmers are doing for the climate change agenda. And, you know, we've had Storm Ophelia in recent days. You've had, you know, in mid-August, you know, the extraordinarily heavy rain. These kind of weather events and climate change is upon us, and we need to act accordingly. And LOSS and BDGP and afforestation are all parts of what the farming community is doing in that agenda.
Now, you mentioned there the storms and the flooding, and there was the localised flooding up here, the Inishowen Peninsula particularly badly hit. And I suppose one of the challenges for government, when you get small pockets that have been particularly badly hit, it's hard to get EU aid and big regional funding. But the way things are going forward, maybe we'll have to look at having some sort of contingency plans for localised events as they materialise.
Well, one of the things that's enabled under the Common Agricultural Policy, though an instrument that we in Ireland haven't availed of previously, is insurance against such events and assistance towards the cost of insurance through the CAP. Because there are people who have suffered, and, you know, my department and government acknowledges that, you know, some of what the government puts in place, and we have responded to the initial event, I think in a comprehensive way, doesn't cover or compensate against all of the loss in a fashion that, or a manner that insurance would. And I think that's something for the new Common Agricultural Policy post-2020 that we in Ireland probably need to look at more closely, because it is a part and parcel of other countries' toolbox, so to speak, to, you know, in terms of how they use their rural development program funding. And I think it's something that we could usefully learn from.
Just going back to GLOSS and the things that it's connected directly with, I mean, the Food Harvest 2020 and, of course, the Origin Green campaign, they're all linked very closely together.
Well, they are. I mean, we are the food island. We export 90% of what we produce. In the context of Brexit, our dependence on the UK market is well, you know, known at this stage. But in the markets that we want to be in primarily, you know, the higher value-added markets, there is an increasingly savvy consumer who wants to know not just that what she's buying or he is buying is safe, traceable and nutritious, but increasingly the ask is it produced in a sustainable environmental fashion? And that's really important in terms of the environmental schemes we run, in terms of what Borbia has piloted in terms of Origin Green, which is a branding of our product as produced sustainably and processed sustainably. It's a whole of the food chain initiative involving the primary producer but also the processor, in terms of being able to say, look, that we are producing this product to your place in the most environmentally sustainable way possible.
Now, also this week, I see there's news about payments regarding the knowledge transfer program.
Yeah, we've started payments already in the sheep sector and hope over the coming weeks to roll out across the range of other sectors, dairy, beef, tillage, equine, poultry, pig. You know, and the payments in these, to be honest about it, Chris, are modest. They're €750 per participant, and if you're a participant in two, because there are farmers who, for example, might be sheep farmers and beef producers, the payment for participating in two groups is, I think, €1,250. But I think the value of these is far more than the payment. The value is in terms of bringing to farmers the knowledge of the most advanced, sophisticated, innovative technologies that are available to help them. But I think equally of value is the socialisation that comes with these discussion groups. Farming is a profession that's practised by and large in isolation. Even in family farms, you know, very often the spouse is working off-farm, the farmer's at home alone. And the socialisation that comes from these kinds of activities involved in knowledge transfer, I think, are really welcome from that point of view also.
And finally, Michael Creed, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, just to recap once again in relation to the GLOSS scheme, you're basically calling on those who haven't submitted their nutrient management plans to do so as soon as possible.
Well, what I would say to your listeners out there, take a note, ring your advisor tomorrow, check that your nutrient management plan has been submitted, because if it hasn't, we can't pay.
Michael Creed, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine. Now moving on to a series of events directly linked to the bad weather and responding to it here in the Northwest. Stephen Blewett is General Manager of Agribusiness with Orivo, and it is lining up three events. I've been speaking to him about what's in store.
What we have planned is three free events, as you said. The first one is being held in Dorian's Hotel in Ballyshannon on the 13th of November, Monday the 13th of November, kicking off at 8 p.m. It is in direct response to, I suppose, feedback from our valued customer and shareholder base in the Donegal and Northern Ireland region. We have six homeland stores in Donegal and one in Ome and Tyrone, and based on feedback we've been getting from our customers, especially around the Ballyshannon area, they could be in for a pretty long winter, so we're doing our best to get out early and organise an information evening where we can, I suppose, plan ahead to ensure that there is no, I suppose, panic reactions next March or April if we get out early and help our farmers and advise our farmers and plan for the next 5 months, as opposed to, very short-term plans next April.
Stephen Blewett, General Manager of Agribusiness with Orivo. Well, in recent weeks, we've covered a story about NCT for tractors and the statutory instrument controversially signed into law by Minister Shane Ross on the final day of the ploughing championships without prior consultation will now be annulled in the Dáil, paving the way for a negotiated and agreed tractor testing regime. Well, according to the Irish Farmers Journal, the original testing regime, due to be brought into law this month and to get underway before next May, would have seen mandatory testing introduced for all tractors rated to travel in excess of 40 kilometres per hour, operating beyond a 25 kilometre radius of their base. That is now all being shelved, and it's back to the drawing board. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices steer-based, €3.75 a kilo. Heifers making €3.85 a kilo and some up to €3.90 a kilo. R-grade bulls, €3.80 a kilo. U-grade, €3.95 a kilo. Cows making €3.20 to €3.60 a kilo. And the lamb price update, good solid demand. Prices of €4.70 to €4.75 a kilo. Ewes making €2.60 to €2.70 a kilo. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. From me, Chris Ashmore, many thanks for listening. Until next week, goodbye.